So welcome, namaste. So just before we get started with this session, I just wanted to let you know that there's been a change in the way that we're doing things. This is the first time that we have run a retreat solely online, solely virtually. So we realized that, and we've been getting some emails asking for the recordings. And before, when we've held a retreat, it's been me and a lot of beings in a room in the same time zone. And of course, nobody needed the recordings until after the retreat had finished and we'd all gone home. And we're learning as we go with this, of course, and we're refining as we go. So we realized that it'd be useful to have the recordings available during the actual retreat. And rather than it being something that's a distraction, it can be an aid to people that are in different time zones. Obviously, you know, here in the UK, it's noon, but it's a very different time other areas around the world. So you will be getting an email, hopefully within the next couple of hours, with a link to a hidden page that's on our website that's only accessible to people with the link. And it will have, as we go, the recordings from yesterday's sessions will be on there soon and updated as we go very shortly afterwards. Ian's working really hard to make that happen right now as we speak. So if you don't get that email within a couple of hours, then check your junk or your spam, because any email that we send out to a group of people, some email servers just automatically bounce that back. So just to check, and even if it doesn't bounce it back, sometimes it can go into junk. So just to check that you've got that, and just ask you not to share that link with anyone that's not on the retreat. Okay, so thank you for helping us learn how to run this virtual retreat even better. So before we get into today's guided meditation, I want to just talk a little bit about meditation. Everything I tend to talk about before the session is to really help us go into the session. And I would like to just tell you some of my experiences around meditation and really coming to understand what a good meditation actually is, and rather than what we think it is, because I think it would be extraordinarily useful moving into the rest of the sessions. So one day when I was, I'm not really one for telling stories, but of course I probably end up saying that every time I tell a story. So hopefully it'll be a useful story. One day I was, I can't remember how many years ago, but I was sitting down to meditate. I had just an hour to meditate. I'd taken the kids to school and I had something else to do in an hour, and I set an alarm on my phone. Okay, I'm going to sit down and meditate for an hour. And before I even got upstairs, I used to meditate upstairs in my bedroom, I just sat down here to finish a few bits and pieces that I need to do. I used to only try to meditate for 20 minutes at that point, because it was really, really difficult for me to sit still long enough. So this is a long time ago. And even before I actually got upstairs to go meditate, meditation just happened while I was sitting here. It just kind of came upon me, and I'm sure you might have had those experiences. And next thing I know, my alarm is going off on my phone, and I've just lost that hour completely. And as I kind of came back and heard the alarm ringing, there was this beautiful peace and bliss, and just I was feeling really, really, really spiritual then, you know, like really loved up, and I'm sure my spiritual halo was just glowing. And for the rest of the day, I was floating on air. I've got this meditation thing sorted now, you know, I know exactly what it's about now. And so the next day, I'd taken the kids to school and came back and I had a couple of hours, thought, right, I'm going to sit down to meditate. And I went upstairs and I closed the curtains as I used to do, turned my phone off, and I got my pillows exactly right, because that was an art form in itself, you know, supporting my back so I didn't sort of slump over. And I could never, of course, ever get my pillows just right. This day it happened. I thought, great, this is it. You know, I'm going to, the cats were out. There were two cats at the time, not the same ones I have now. So they weren't going to burst in the bedroom either, because they used to come and like to sit on me while I was meditating. And there weren't any deliveries due or anything. I was like, right, this is it. I'm sorted now. And I sent out the intention that nobody should call or knock on the door. You know, it was being like proper spiritual. And I had this huge expectation of what was going to happen when I sat down. And I sat down, closed my eyes, and within about 5 seconds, there's a knock on the door. And even before the knock on the door had finished, there was this huge surge of rage. You know, this absolute, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not what happened yesterday. This is absolutely wrong. There was just like, I'm sure there would have been steam coming out of my ears. So I decided I'm not going to answer the door, because it's probably not even delivery for me. It's probably somebody for next door. And I was really irritated then when I saw my body running down the stairs to open the door. I'm like, what are you doing? So anyway, I took in this delivery and went back upstairs, sat down, got my pillows just right again after about another 5 minutes, closed my eyes. And all of a sudden I hear this, wow. And one of my cats, although they were out and they were happy, he used to make this meowing sound that sounded like someone saying hello. And turns out he'd caught a mouse, you know, and he likes to talk to his mouse, or he used to do. So I'm sat there and this anger is surging. And more there's this sense of, this is not fair. This is not right. This is not how meditation's supposed to be. This is not at all spiritual, and it's just not getting me anywhere. So I was like, I'm going to ignore the cat. You know, it's not cold outside, it's not raining, they're fine. And close my eyes again after readjusting my pillows again. Couldn't get them right this time, so I spent another few minutes doing that. And then close my eyes about 2 minutes later, I'm just starting to get into a nice state. And this sense of guilt washes over me that I've left the cat outside with this mouse, because, you know, I'm thinking, is it very spiritual to let this mouse, you know, leave its existence while I'm trying to meditate? And then I'm getting even more angry at myself because I'm thinking about the mouse while I'm trying to meditate. And this just went on and on and on. And I got up and went downstairs almost to go get the mouse and let the cat in. And then I decided I wasn't going to do that. I was going to let nature take its course. The cat was just being a cat, sat back down, adjusted my pillows yet again. And I was seething with rage, you know, absolutely seething. It was probably one of my most unspiritual moments I've ever had. And it was so far removed from the experience I'd had 24 hours before that it really just completely destroyed a lot of my projections about my, you know, my spiritual halo had very much dropped off and tarnished. And it taught me a lesson in that moment that I really can't control anything at all in that way. And it also taught me a lesson about what good meditation is, actually. Finally, after about 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, you know, of seething, and I was looking at the timer on my phone, there's 15 minutes left. You know, it's not even worth meditating now, trying, because if I get into a deep state, I'm going to be brought out of it. But being, you know, a really good Olympic gold medalist spiritual seeker, so I'm going to sit here for the rest of this hour. And even if I get jolted out of it by the alarm going off, I will make the most of it. So I'm sitting there and I just kind of all of a sudden just gave up. I thought, right, I'll just sit here for 15 minutes. It wasn't a conscious decision. Just sat there. And I didn't even try to get my pillows right, which is quite funny looking back. And next thing I know, I open my eyes and an hour and a half has gone past and my alarm has been going off on my phone for, when I looked at it, it must have been at least almost an hour or maybe more. And I totally hadn't heard it. And it had been one of the deepest meditations I've ever had after this completely comical start. And I just sat there for a while, absolutely stunned. Firstly, that I could even, you know, the last thought I remember having as I went into this was, this is just going to be one of those days. It's just not going to happen today. And it's just this resignation of, oh, well, maybe I'm not as good at meditation as I thought I was. And I just kind of let it go. There's more work to do. And then I come out of this meditation with the alarm ringing and my head had even, I was like really good meditator at that point. I mean, like proper seeker. I'd even bought myself one of those airplane pillow things so that when my head dropped back, it didn't bang on the wall behind. So my head had even dropped back and I hadn't even noticed, you know, just kind of totally let go. And I think really embarrassingly, there might have been some drool going on, but we'll move on swiftly from that. So afterwards, I was looking at this and I thought, I could not really begin to or still hold this conviction afterwards that a good or a perfect meditation was where I got into a really deep state, you know, that had just been blown out of the window. And it really began to show me that a good meditation is where I give up trying to control, especially trying to control the meditation. And that it was that desire, that urge, that trying to get into a deep place that was actually getting in the way of that. Because my phone alarm was going off. There was actually a house alarm going across the street. There was all kinds of things going on. The cat was still talking to the mouse. And I still don't know to this day what happened to the mouse, never found it. And it was just the perfect meditation. It was just all allowed to be. And I got into this beautiful state, but I hadn't wanted that state. And I didn't have any expectations at that point, because as far as I was concerned, it wasn't going to happen that day. I didn't have my mojo right, you know, so what, it'll just be like that. And I really began to understand this concept that there is in the Hindu way of the gunas, you know, the three. You don't really need to know about them, but it might just help to illustrate that the gunas are kind of three types of energy that we're moving within manifestation. And there's rajas, tamas, and sattva, and just very, very, I mean, there's much better descriptions of them, of what they are, but tamasic energy is kind of inertia or resistance, you know, so when someone is completely set in their ways, really resisting what is and almost happy about it, that's tamas, you know. So that was the kind of thing I was doing when I was saying, this is how meditation should be, you know, this is how it should be, and I'm very stubbornly insistent upon that. And then rajas, rajistic energy, is this doing, so we can say inertia and resistance, and gradually moving towards more doing, you know, meditation is something I'm doing and I can get it right or I can get it wrong. And then there's this sattvic energy, which is quite pure, harmonious, just pure beingness itself, just, you know, being able to sit still. And even if there's a great restlessness inside the body, tamasic energy arising, resistance arising, a real sense, I don't want to meditate today, you can't make me, which I'm sure nobody's ever experienced. You might be experiencing it right now. And I really understood that these energies would just play during meditation. And a good meditation was simply where I completely allowed those to play when I had no expectation of how it was going to go. Because before that, I'd been very rigidistic, doing a lot of spiritual work, trying to get to a sattvic and pure, you know, just sitting with my mojo going properly and getting into this nice sattvic pure place in meditation. And of course, trying to get really still by doing something to make it happen is never going to work. And I figured this out after about 2 years of really meditating for, I don't know, 6 to 7 hours a day, that when I got into that nice state, it was just when I'd either given up or I had no expectations, or it just kind of snuck up upon me, and it became clearer and clearer what a good meditation is. And that's what I really wanted to share with you before we go into a meditation. The meditation is, in its purest form, a way of being. So it's a way of being with what is and just allowing that what isness. And if in meditation we can get our attitude right, then it helps us get the attitude to the rest of our life correct. So if I'm sat here to meditate and you know, everyone else seems to be really deep in a deep state, and I'm the only one that's got this intense irritability, anger, or restlessness in the body that I don't think feel I can even sit down or sit still. If I'm thinking more about what everyone else's experience in meditation is than actually being present to my own experience, then that is my meditation in that moment. Can I just allow that to happen fully? Can I approach this situation of just feeling completely off track with what my ideas about meditation are? That it should be something where the mind quiets down and I should be able to sit still and I should look really peaceful and serene. And actually allow what the meditation is. If that's a house alarm going off, that's what it is. If that is the dog, the neighbor's dog starting to bark the very moment you close your eyes, that's what it is. If it is intense anger and rage coming up, that's exactly what it is. If the body's comfortable or uncomfortable, that's exactly what it's supposed to be in this moment. And you can see that when you kind of get this, that it's a real thing you can apply to everywhere, not just your seated meditation, that your life becomes a meditation. Whatever's happening in this moment is exactly how it's supposed to be. And there goes a house alarm. And just to illustrate the point, it's going to be one of those days, I'll warn you now. So you take this attitude into meditation that there is no perfect meditation. Or you could say perfect meditation is when you're actually experiencing whatever you're experiencing with a total lack of being able to say it should be different than it is. If it's, you know, as we go through this retreat, you may have experienced yesterday already, there'll be some meditations you just slide into and you're, oh, that was so amazing, I don't want to come back. And then other ones where you're just kind of opening one eye and looking at the time and trying to figure out how much longer you've got and whether you need to move your leg because you've lost the feeling in it or any of those things. And can you make it to the end of the session without having to turn your camera off and run up to the loo because you had too much coffee before you started, all of that. So can you just destroy right now your idea of what meditation should be? Can you just kind of ditch that before we go into this session? Maybe it'll be peaceful. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be very tamasic or rajasic. Maybe it'll be very sattvic. Maybe it'll be very harmonious. Or maybe you'll feel like a fish out of water the whole session. And that is exactly what's supposed to happen. And you can tell it's what's supposed to happen because it is what's happening. The reality can't kind of screw it up in that way. Maybe my meditation needs to be more about me being authentically present to my experience rather than trying to control my experience. When you really get this, it just takes the pressure off you, because you can't do meditation wrong then. There is no bad meditation. Even if you're sat there going, it should be other than it is right now, and I wish it was more peaceful, you can just let that be too. You know, we're going to listen to the silence in a moment, we're going to go into meditation. But if you spend more time listening to thoughts, you know, out of the 30 minutes or whatever we do, you spend 29 and a half minutes listening to thoughts. And then when you realize you've got a good solid 30 seconds listening to silence, so what? That's your meditation right there. Can you accept that? And why should we feel it's got to be different to that? And why should we decide it's an excellent meditation if somehow the moment I say listen to the silence, you just hear it and that's it, and you don't get distracted once the rest of the session? Why is that better? And who made these rules up anyway? So I'm feeling a little bit kind of playful today, so it's probably going to be one of those sessions, but we'll see. So moving into meditation without any sense of how it should be. Immediately you've won. Immediately there you've succeeded. Immediately there is nothing you can get wrong. Which is a huge relief for me to kind of recognize that. Meditation is, as I was saying yesterday, an attitude. Retreat is an attitude. All these things, our satsang, our meditation, our retreat, become the same thing. How am I moving around, interacting with my experience? Am I being authentic in my experience? Am I allowing, if there's anger, am I allowing it? If there's fear, am I allowing it? If there is joy, am I allowing it? If there is utter distraction, am I allowing that? Restlessness, pain in the body, whatever is occurring, we're just completely letting that be. And that is, to the best of our ability. And if we're not letting it be, also, if we're pushing against, we can let that be. So something is going to have this idea of what good meditation is. Something is going to have this preset idea. And of course, when you do this, you actually ironically slip into being that kind of perfect yogi that can sit still for hours and just, no matter what thoughts are happening or emotions, just kind of let go. That's kind of your way of being then. But we mustn't start off looking for that. You know, we mustn't start off, or wherever we're at in our practice, thoughts are going to come, emotions are going to arise, outside disturbances are going to happen. And even if you were in the middle of a forest doing this, there'd still be the animal sounds outside and the disturbances, and there'd still be the inner disturbance of thought. So you're not ever going to get away from that. Just to come to accept there's no such thing as a good meditation, or if you prefer, a good meditation is exactly how it went or how it's going to go. So the pressure's off, hopefully, and you can just relax and see what happens. There's a much more effective attitude to be coming into meditation with. So, having said that, let's get ourselves comfy. And again, in meditation, I'm not telling you to sit any particular way, just to make sure you're comfy and you can sit for 30 minutes or so, and just to enjoy the meditation. And again, you can have your eyes open or closed. It really doesn't matter. Some people prefer to have their eyes closed so they can kind of concentrate a little bit better. Some people find they tend to drift off into a deeper state when they have their eyes open, because they're not distracted by some bliss or something. Either is fine. And again, there isn't a should or a shouldn't. There is only what's working for you at this moment, and that may change from time to time. So just going to find a nice comfortable position. And like all meditation that I'm going to lead us through this weekend. Our meditation is really a noticing of what is in the background of our experience. A coming to notice that there is something constant, something that isn't changing. So today we're going to call it silence. We're going to call it listening to the silence. So right now in my outer world, there is some noise going on. There are some children playing on the street. So the normal thing we do is listen to the sounds, and that's absolutely fine. That's the normal thing that we do, the inner sound of thought, or the outer sound in our environment, in our world. And I'm just going to ask you to listen and see if there isn't something else present also. And a great question to really go deeper into this is, what else can I hear? Or maybe you can kind of hear that there is a silence in between, underneath the words, in between the thoughts, during the thoughts. There is a silent space that we can only perceive, that we can only hear thoughts because of that silence. If we were standing in a room and there was 50 of us and we were all shouting at the same time, no one voice could be clear. But because there is silence already, you can hear the words that I'm speaking right now. It's just constant in the background. And it's not going to feel amazing. It's not going to feel special. It's just like, well, that's silence. But just to pay attention to it anyway is enough, just because it is the unchanging thing in our experience. And just because we're reversing this habit of always paying attention to the sound that's coming and going, to the thoughts that are coming and going, all we're doing in our meditation is just changing this habit of looking at the phenomena, listening to the phenomena, being aware of the phenomena of thoughts, experience, emotion first, and never paying any attention to the noumen on the self, the background in which they're arising. So we're just going to be listening to the silence. And if you can't seem to find the silence, just relax. It'll just appear at some point. It's really not important whether you actually manage to hear it or not at this point. It's just important that we're aware there's something else to listen to, that we don't only have to listen to thoughts, to experience, to the mind, all of that. So we're just listening to the silence. And when we begin to listen to thoughts again and we become aware that's what we're doing, just simply bring attention gently back, opening it up again to hear that silence. It's constant, it's in the background, and we've not noticed it because it's always been there. So just a little skill we're learning, a new habit to put attention on that silence first. Isn't anything amazing? It doesn't present itself and wave at you and say, hey, I'm the silence. It's just there, and it's just our choice to begin to recognize it. So just this very simple thing of listening to the silence and then noticing quite naturally for all of us, attention will drift back to listening to thoughts probably, or some sensation in the body, or some outer noise. You just gently bring attention back to the silence. And it's a kind of listening without any agenda, without any need to achieve anything. Listening to the silence isn't going to get us anywhere. It certainly isn't going to make us better meditators. It's just listening to the silence because it's there. Because it's the reliable thing about our experience, that background quiet space in which all this is happening. Again, we're just giving up our ideas about what is a good meditation. Just listening to that silence. And as you listen to the silence, you may be aware of some sounds as well. It's totally okay. But as we listen to the silence, the sounds may begin to seem more distant, more dreamlike. Just as when we listen to the sound of thoughts, the silence becomes more distant and dreamlike. So there isn't anything amazing to achieve here, just to become aware of this silence. That it may seem the most ordinary thing of all about you, about this moment. That it's nothing special, doesn't seem to be. It won't feel any particular way. It may even seem to our mind like a waste of time. Just to listen to that silence because it's here. Just a simple recognition that there is something quiet already, something completely silent. The outer sounds and the inner noise of the mind are just happening. We don't need to particularly pay attention to them. Don't need to do anything with that. It's enough just to bring attention to this silent space inside our being. And again, from time to time, you'll find that your attention has wandered and that you're listening to thoughts or paying attention to some pleasurable or painful state happening in the body. No big deal. Nothing gone wrong there. Our attention will wander at first. Just simply bring it back when you've noticed that it's wandered. Back to the silence. Just cultivating a new habit to listen to the silence first. To do this very simple thing is going to begin to change everything for us. And there isn't any goal here at all. There isn't anything that we need to get out of this. From time to time, just checking, what am I listening to? And bringing attention back if we need to. I'm not trying to get into a deep state. We're not even trying to listen to the silence 100% of the time. I'm not trying anything. And it doesn't matter whether the body is restless or whether the mind is restless. All that can just be happening in the silence. We're not trying to manufacture any state or have any particular experience. Experiences come and go. And the silence remains constantly. Just listening. Recognizing that underneath all the sound, all the movement, all the noise, there is something silent already. Simply by bringing attention to that silence. We don't mind so much anymore what the mind is doing. We don't mind so much anymore what the emotions are doing. This is already the perfect meditation. Just wondering from time to time where your attention is. Are you listening to the silence? We don't need to try to stop the sounds, the noise. the sensations, the movement, the coming and going of all of this. It can just come and go. Just to want to listen to the silence begins to have a beneficial effect upon the body, the mind, not by anything we're doing. It just happens. Just falling in love with that silence to whatever degree we're able to right now. And if that's not much at all, it's not much at all, and it's fine. We're just stepping away from trying to change our experience. And moving gently towards that which always is, the silence. And even to say that we're listening to the silence. Maybe a little bit too much. Maybe there's just silence. Every now and again, just checking where your attention is, what you're listening to. Meditation isn't supposed to feel any particular way. It isn't supposed to go any particular way. Peace comes from just allowing exactly how it is in this moment. just gently listening. There isn't anything for you to do. Are you listening to the silence or listening to sound? In a few moments, we will begin to open our eyes if they're closed. Begin to bring ourselves back into this present moment. Bring this formal meditation to a close. I'd really like to invite you to see that this was the perfect meditation. However it went, whether it was stunningly peaceful and blissful and quiet, or amazingly turbulent and restless and resistant, it's entirely up to you whether it's the perfect meditation or not. You get to choose every single time that this is a way of being with each moment, of letting go of any idea or model or script of how meditation and life should go. And how it shouldn't go as well. There are so many things in the phenomenal world that we can't control. We can always control our attitude, the way that we're holding our experience. And this is real meditation. This is good meditation. However it is exactly how it's supposed to be. However this session went for you is exactly what you needed to experience. I remember one time at a retreat when we're all there in person, and I just started to guide us into a meditation like this. And a couple of buildings away from where we were, not very far at all, they decided they were going to start drilling and hammering and banging on the roof. They were putting a new roof on the building. It was just amazing to me in that moment that nothing within me could say this should not be, and that we all got to sit there and make this the perfect meditation. So I hope you can carry that with you as we move into this break in between. Thank you.